message in all the parables of the Bible. We're finishing off our classes on the parables, and we're talking about all the parabolic teaching in the book of Revelation. We're in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, but before we go there, let's go back to the book of Genesis, since the Bible is one book. And I want to read a few verses for you back there. And we're talking about Satan's great efforts to destroy the promises of God. There were two great covenants in the Old Testament, the Davidic and the Abrahamic covenant, and actually different positions, the Abrahamic covenant first and the Davidic covenant, which are unconditional covenants. And I want to read to you from the 32nd chapter of Genesis. The Bible is a carpet, finely woven together. It does not contradict itself in any way. It is a perfect masterpiece of prophecy and divine intellect that shows us God and His plan. Genesis 37 and verse 2. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when he was 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all the sons, because he was the son of his old age and the son of the one woman he wanted to marry, and no one else. He had four wives that were forced upon him. Three, that is. And one wife, Rachel, is the one who wanted. And this is his son. This is his love child, so to speak. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all of his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and made him a very colored tunic. And his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and they hated him because of that, and could not speak a single solitary word to him on friendly terms. Joseph had a dream, and when he told to his brothers, they hated him even more. And he said to them, "Please listen to this dream which I have had." This is prophecy, people. Prophecy. "Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf." And this is a double prophecy, by the way. And then his brother said to him, "Are you actually going to reign over us?" And we know that he did as Pharaoh of Egypt. "Or are you really going to rule over us?" And so they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. And he still had another dream, and related that one to his brothers. "Lo, I had still another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and the stars were bowing down to me." And related it to his father and to his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream that you've had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually bow down ourselves before you to the ground?" And his brothers were jealous of him. But his father kept the saying in his mind and in his heart. Now let's go to the last book in the Bible. We were in the first book in the Bible. Genesis is not the oldest book in the Bible. The book of Job is. But the book of Bereshith, that's the beginnings. And so we see this. Beginnings. Now, I'm reading this to you from the Greek. I'm translating it. I'm not reading every word from Greek. And a great sign, it was seen in the heaven. A woman, a gynae, having been royally clothed with the sun and the moon underneath. By the way, the moon here, the sun is Helion, and the moon is Selena. And we get a word Selena from that, and even Helios, the name Helios, comes from this name, sun. That is a man's name also. And Selena, that is a woman's name, and both of these are in Spanish, by the way. They went from the Greek into the Spanish. and underneath the feet of her, and upon the head of her, a crown with 12 stars. Now, Israel and the unrelenting purpose of Satan to destroy her and her seed. And we know that this happened. My ears stop up sometimes. And Satan turned his wrath toward the Jews, and God has always protected them. If Satan could destroy the Jews, he could destroy the promises of God and the eternal purpose of God. Now, Luther wrote a little pamphlet one time called The Lies of the Jews. And he talked about replacement theology, as Augustine did, and as John Calvin did also. And he says that all the promises to Israel were transferred to the church. That's what we call replacement theology. But God's word, God said in Psalm 89 and in Genesis in many places that his word would not be broken. His promises to David and Abraham would not be broken. And this promise is that through the seed of the woman and the son of David, that he is going to bring forth his Messiah, his son, into this world to save sinners like you and me. There are five outstanding personalities and characters set forth in these few verses, and actually this verse. In all reality, the sun-clothed woman is Israel. The great red dragon is Satan, and Herod also the great. And the child of the sun-clothed woman is Jesus Christ, and of course, it was Joseph in the Old Testament, which is a type of Christ in 70 different ways, I believe. And we have the archangel Michael. And then we have the believing remnant of the nation of Israel. Israel was the wife of God, and she literally did bear the promised child through Mary, the Son of God. Genesis 3:15 fulfilled. The faithful element in the person of Mary brought faith that that child, by faith, brought forth that child. But the unfaithful element of Israel, the Sanhedrin, murdered the child of the woman, the son of the woman. Verse number 2. And in the womb having, the woman had a child in her womb, and she cries, suffering pains of birth, being in terrible distress to bear. And by the way, Isaiah 26, Isaiah 66, 6 through 9, Micah 4 and 9 are all cross-references to this. And it was seen another sign in the heaven. And behold, a dragon, that means a great snake, a great serpent, a dragon. Tanin is the word in Hebrew, the great Tani and the great dragon, the great Leviathan of old, the fiery red Leviathan, he's great, and having head 7 and horns 10 upon the head of him, and this goes back to Daniel 7, 7 and 8 and 24 and 12 and 9. These are going to be the players in the end times, this dragon. This dragon is going to be over, he's got 10 horns. Horns is a sign of power. That's nations. And he's got 7 heads. seven heads of these nations behind him. You know that Israel, in May the 14th, 1948, when she was declared a nation, the very day that she was declared a nation, five Muslim nations, Arab nations, attacked her to take her down. It didn't work. It didn't work. God's promises are there. That nation is not a believing nation today. But that's the only nation that God has ever had. It's not U.S., it's not England, it's not France, it's not Germany, it's none of these other nations. God has one nation, and that nation is Israel. And the promises to that nation will not fail, and that nation will believe again. Here we are in the church age today. This is talking about a period of time in the future, in the tribulation period. It jumps back here, and it tells us, right here at the cross of Calvary, when that child was born, Satan put in Herod's heart to try to kill him. He could have believed. He could have believed. Every man can believe. But many won't. This great sign in heaven, the great snake, the great dracon, Tanin. These nations that shall come up. And it says, and the heads of him were seven diadems. Ancient princes sometimes wore basically a crown, and on the crown was different streamers. Alexander the Great had one of these, and every nation that he had conquered, there was a streamer off of that representing those nations. The areas of conquest. In Revelation 12 and 1, 15, 1, 12, 4, 7, 9, 13, 6, 13, 2, and 4, 11 and 16, 13 and 2, 4 and 11, 16, 13, 20 and 2, 13 and 1, 17, 12, and 16. And Isaiah 27 and verse 1. This is not a mistake. This isn't somebody just spitting out some words on paper. Satan at Christ's birth had his man Herod on the throne. How did Herod get on the throne? Well, Joseph's father should have been on the throne. I mean, Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, should have been on the throne of Israel as the king of Israel. But in the history of Israel, Israel was under the Roman Empire, and Antony and Cleopatra decided to put Herod on the throne. And Herod, Anthony's name, he built a fortress called the Antonia Fortress. Name of Anthony. Well, Satan got his man on the throne. In the last days, during the tribulation period, people will see signs and wonders in the heavens. And they will be deceived by Satan with these great signs and wonders. And the beast, and the Antichrist, and the false prophet, we shall see them in the book of Revelation. Joel 2, 28 and 29 talks about this, and 30 through 32. In the church age, we have the Bible. We have more than what we can ever learn and understand in the Bible. We have complete revelation. In the tribulation period, they will have signs and wonders from God and from Satan. His lying wonders. Now, during the church age, when the Bible was being written, there were many signs and wonders attesting to the people that were writing the Bible. 12 and verse 4 now. And the Heurah, and the tale of him, it draws down a third of the stars of heaven. Now, what in the world is that talking about? And he cast them unto the earth, the dragon. And he stood before the woman. Now let's go back before we get to that. Back in eternity past, back here before space and time began, the earth had already been created. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. There was a creation on the earth at that time. Evidently, there were trees, there were animals, all kinds of stuff on the earth at that time. And Satan, evidently, he's one of what we judge as, theoretically, that an archangel. There were three archangels, we believe. There were Lucifer. There was Michael. Michael is actually named the only archangel that's named in the Bible. And then there's Gabriel. We have Lucifer over the material realm of God. We have Michael over the spiritual realm. And we have Gabriel over the informational realm. Every person that was ever inspired to do anything, it was by the agency of Gabriel. And I don't believe Gabriel ever appeared to Muhammad at all. As a matter of fact, I believe Muhammad is behind all of this. We have the Mahdi. And the writings of the Muslim world, the Quran, the Sunnahs, and the Hadith, all talk about the same end times that the Bible talked about. Except everything that is good in the Quran is bad in the Bible, and everything that's evil and perverse in the Quran is good in the Bible. Jesus is the Son of God. The statement of faith of Islam is there is no God at all, and he has no companion, he has no son. And Muhammad is his messenger. I want to tell you something about all the rest of the Bible, from Genesis through Revelation, and every book that we don't have either, from the prophets. Every one of those prophets did not magnify themselves. They magnified God. In all the writings of Muhammad, he magnified himself. And how great he was. The most perfect man that was ever born. Of course, the most perfect man that ever lived, according to Muhammad. But Jesus is the only perfect man that ever lived. He's the only man that ever lived without sin. Muhammad had plenty of it. He was a murderer, a rapist, a thief, and a liar. He said that himself. He used his lies. He paid his men by thieving and booty. And he fought by deceit. And he raped and pillaged and stole and kidnapped and asked for ransom. The Holy Bible talks about a holy God. The Holy Quran, in parentheses, talks about a holy Muhammad. God is holy. Jesus is holy. The Holy Spirit is holy. Muhammad called himself the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He referred to even Gabriel as the Holy Spirit. The miracles that Jesus did, he did those miracles to prove that he was God the Son. We have those. Isaiah 14, 12 through 19. Talking about the king of Babylon. But the secondary prophecy of that is Lucifer. Ezekiel 28, 1 through 19. We have the king of Tyre, primarily. But Lucifer is the person. Most Bible students believe that this is talking about a period of time when Lucifer was cast out of heaven because of his sin. He said, I will ascend to the northernmost part of the earth, and I will ascend up into the throne of glory and exalt myself over God. And he's still trying to do that today, and he, through Muhammad's religion, he has greatly exalted himself. And we shall fight this battle on this earth. I said we, I mean the people that are remaining on the earth during that tribulation period, will fight the battles with Islam. Between Islam and Israel
and what believing remnant there will be left.
Five out of every six Gentiles will be killed. The earth will be depopulated. Two out of every three Jews will die. The earth will be depopulated greatly. But then we come into the millennial reign. Not one lost person is going to that millennial reign. And it's going to be a real reign on this earth. Many scholars believe that David, King David, the resurrected King David, will sit on the throne here, and Jesus will be with his bride in heaven, reigning from heaven over the whole heavens and the earth. Satan will be locked up for 1,000 years during that period of time. Satan and demons will not have any influence upon humanity at that time, but some humans will still sin. In the book of Genesis, it says in Genesis 1 and 1, Barashith bara Elohim et hashamayim v'et haaretz. In one of the beginnings, Beit, page 88, Rosh, page 912, and then on the end of that word, Barashith, is a tau, which means plural. In one of the beginnings, he had created, that's a finished product, God, the heavens and the earth. They're finished. They're complete. All done. That's third person, masculine and singular, tau perfect. The earth had been completely created. It's not in a flux of creation. It has been created. And then in Genesis 1 and 2 it says, We ha'aris, hatia tohu bohu, ruwa, we hochik, el panei hamayim. We rua Elohim, Mer Pachet El Panei Hamayim. And the earth, we ha arts, and ha we ha evits. And the earth, she had become third person, feminine, singular, cow perfect. The earth, she had become formless and void. And darkness was over the faces of the deep. Hatzahom. And then it says, Spirit God, the Holy Spirit, suffered over the faces of the waters. Mourned over the faces of the water. And then we have the reconstruction of the earth and the heavens. This is Satan's doing. And he stood before the woman. He had stood before the woman, the one being about to bear, in order that whenever she, the child of her, that he might devour, when the child of her is born, that he might eat him down, that he might swallow him up. Herod, the son of Esau, B.C. 1837, an heir of the flesh, and not the promised son of Jacob, stood before that child whom he hated. Malachi 1 and 3, Romans 9, 13, Hebrews 11 and 20, and 12 and 16, Isaiah 7, 14, Isaiah 27, 1, Daniel 8 and 10 are all corresponding with this verse. Jesus was born. We know that he was born in Bethlehem. House of bread. And we know that Daniel was over there in the east in the Babylonian captivity. And some of those people believed, and some of them, they're called the Magi. The Magi are the kings. Now it has three gifts. Three gifts. And so they say there's three kings, but there could have been 30 or 40 or 300 kings coming. But they stopped at Jerusalem because that is the capital of Israel. And they want to see the child that's born king. Because his star has risen. It's time for him to be born. The very day. The time for him to be born is there. They were telling time by the stars. And they asked Herod. It's supposed to be Herod's child. But Herod's of the wrong family. He's of the child of the bondwoman, Esau. Not the promised child. Esau married into the children of the bondwoman, Hagar, wanderer. And there we have Ishmael and Esau's descendants coming together to thwart the purposes of God. The heir, the Christ child, has been born. The promise is fulfilled, but Satan is there trying to thwart the promises of God. And she bore the heir, the firstborn son of God, the male, who is about to shepherd all of the nations with a rod of iron. And he was snatched away, the child of her, to the God and to the throne of him. That child lived for about 33 and a half years. For 3.5 years of that life, he performed miracles proving who he was, that he was the seed of the woman. Then after the nation of Israel murdered him, God catches him up through those clouds and through those angels into the throne of God. Isaiah 66 and 7, Psalm 2 and 9, and Revelation 2:27. Let's keep on going. 2 and 6. And the woman, she fled unto the wilderness. Now this is talking about Israel at the tribulation period, in the midpoint of tribulation period. Now she is going to flee, and what's happening here is a sign is given. Now this is complicated. The false Christ, the Antichrist, is on the scene. The Bible says, and we will get to that, that the false Messiah, the Antichrist, will make a league with Israel and promise them peace. And the Antichrist is going to build that temple in Jerusalem. There's going to be a temple. A temple for all religions, so to speak. Israel's going to be really happy. They're going to go in there. They're going to offer their sacrifices. They really got their priest's garments already, and all the utensils are already made. And you can even contribute to that temple today if you want to, but I'm not going to. That's the Antichrist temple. The Bible says that this false prophet, this false Antichrist, and the beast, and the false prophet are going to make a covenant with Israel for 7 years. Now, in the writings of Islam, it says the same thing. They're going to move the cobblestone from Mecca to Jerusalem. They're going to build a temple. And this Mahdi is going to reign for 7 years. By the way, the Mahdi is going to be a direct descendant of Muhammad through Fatima, his daughter. And he's going to have the reincarnated spirit of Muhammad in him. And make all the claims that Muhammad made. But he's going to be a reluctant ruler, and he's going to be 40 years old when he begins to rule. And people will swear allegiance to him like they did to Muhammad. And he will have a helper called the beast. And the beast is a weird-looking creature. A supernatural creature that will come out. Now, the Mahdi comes out of Syria, according to Islam. And according to the Bible, and according to the Islamic writings, the beast shall come out of Arabia. And that beast is going to mark all the true believers of Islam with the signature of their faith. There is no God but Allah. He has no companion. And Muhammad is his messenger. That's the 666, so to speak, of the Bible. That's the mark or the name or the authority of the beast. And of the false prophet and of the Antichrist. This beast is going to be big, according to Islam. The Bible just calls him the beast. And he's going to mark all the believers of the Antichrist religion. this Antichrist religion will be a political, national religion, a state and church, as Islam is, as Catholicism was long ago, and Protestant believers also, and they all believe in the church state. Islam doesn't know anything else but church state. You can't divide church from state. That great beast is, according to Islam, he's going to be a weird-looking creature. He's going to have the head of a bull, the eyes of a pig, the horns of a stag, the ears of an elephant, the neck of an ostrich, the front end of a lion, the color of a tiger, the rump of a cat, the tail of a ram, and the legs of a camel. And there's going to be 20 feet between each joint. And he shall speak. This beast shall. And then they will have a false prophet, which is called Issa to them. Issa, mighty beast, the unholy trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they shall wage war. They shall wage war. Many Muslims, Mohammedans today are killing themselves to get into the paradise of God for the jihad, the struggle. Every Muslim must go to hell first, be cleansed, except if you die in jihad. Then you get to go to paradise, 72 virgins. You get to be intercessor for 70 of your family members. Intercessor. These are the journals of Islam. The Quran. The Sunnah and the Hadith. The woman fled into the wilderness. Right in the middle of this tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to break the covenant with Israel. Right in 3.5 years to the day. And he's going to stand in that temple of Jerusalem and say that he is God. And a great emissary of God. And they said, when you see this happen, when you see the abomination of desolation taking place, flee to the mountains. Here it is. Into the wilderness where she has there a place having been prepared for her from God. You know, there might be days, 1260, 3.5 years, that she's going to be protected there. God's churches are gone. All the saved have been raptured up here at this period of time. Now on this earth, there's going to be mass destruction. Muhammad, in the last year of his life, declared war on the world. He said there can't be but one religion in the world, and that's Islam. You go out and you conquer. Until you bring everyone into subjection to Islam. Hunt them down. Lay an ambush to them. Kill them, murder them. Unless, they say, there is no God but Allah, and he has no son, he has no companion, and Muhammad is his messenger. That's the only way they'll be able to believe. But if you take that commitment, you will have no way of eternal salvation, no way of believing ever again. Now, there are going to be many people that are going to be saved during this period of time. We know that 5 out of 6 Gentiles will be killed. Yeah, I said that. 5 out of 6, that's what the Bible says. And 2 out of every 3 Jews will die. There's going to be at least 144,000 Jews left to live. And God marks and protects them. Looking forward to that new age. But there's going to be 3.5 years that God is going to protect Israel. The rock followed Israel, according to 1 Corinthians 10 and 4, and Exodus 17 and 6, and Numbers 28 through 12. Psalm 78, 12 through 16. Matthew 16 and 18, that rock's Jesus, not Peter. 2 Samuel 22:2, Psalm 18 and verse 2, Psalm 71 and verse 3, Psalm 78 and verse 16, 1 Peter 2 and 8, Romans 9 and verse 33. All of these scriptures teach one thing, that God is the rock. He is our protection. Now we got war in heaven. What we got angel wars here now. Jude 9, Daniel 12 and 1, Daniel 10 through 14, and Job 1 and 6. And it occurred, a war in the heaven. Actually, in the heaven, that's one heaven. That's in the abode of God. That's the third heaven. And Michael, and the Michael, and the ones, angels of him, belonging to him, they're going to make war with the dragon, the Draconis, the Draconis. And the dragon, he wars and he fights. And the angels of him, and not he was strong enough, not even a place was found for them in the heaven. Jude 6 through 9. Daniel 12 and 1, Daniel 10, 12, 10 through 14, and Job 1 and 6. Let's go to Jude real quick, just right before the book of Revelation. Jude, right before the book of Revelation. Remember, Daniel 10 through 14. And the angels who did not keep their own dominion, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of that great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they did the same way as these, indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, and are exhibited as an example of in undergoing punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same manner, these men also dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic messengers. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil over the body of Moses, did not pronounce against him a railing judgment, but says, "The Lord rebuke you." These men revile the things which they do not understand, the things which they know by instinct. Like unreasoning animals, these things, they are to be destroyed. Woe to them. That represents what all this is. War in heaven. There is no longer found a place for them. 12 and verse 9. We talk about Lucifer's many titles. And he was cast out the Dracon, the dragon, the Tanin, the dragon the great, and the Ophis, and the serpent in the garden, and the ancient serpent, and the one being called Diabolos, destroyer, and the Ho Satanas, that's Satan there, one who opposes, and the one deceiving the inhabited earth. That's the Mahdi, the beast, and the Antichrist are the false prophet. And he was thrown down to the earth, and the angels of him with him, and they were hurled and thrown out. Genesis 3 and 1. All this is coexisting prophecy. Revelation 12 and 3. Daniel 12 and 1. Genesis 3 and 1. 2 Corinthians 11 and 3. Matthew 4, 10, 25 and 41. Luke 10, 18. John 12, 31. Revelation 12, 3, 12, 15, 22, 13, 14, to 20, verse 3, 8 and 10. Daniel 12 and 1. Satan's wrath is coming. And I heard a sound great in the heaven, saying, until it has become the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God with us. It's going to be the last time Satan's bunch is going to make a trip to heaven. The last trip. The last trip. And the authority of the Christ, exousia. You know the word exousia means no limits. Unlimited authority. Unbound. No limits. And the authority of Christ, and Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, after you've been kicked out, make disciples in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them, baptizing these disciples, teaching them to observe and to guard with their lives all things which I command you, and lo, I'll be with you until the end of the earth. All authority in heaven and earth been given unto me. And he was cast out the accusers of the brethren. And that's what he does. Satan accuses us every day. And the one accusing them, down in the presence and before the presence of God day and night, Satan is your opposing attorney. Jesus is our attorney. By his blood, we are saved. By his blood, we are kept. 12 and verse 11. And these ones, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and through the word of the testimony of them. And not they love the life of them unto death. Oh yes, there's going to be a lot of people die. A lot of people die during this period of time. 5 out of every 6 people in the world are going to die. Some of them are going to be Muslims. Some of them are going to be believers. But God will come back and destroy all of them down to the last man, woman, and child, that only those go into the millennium that are believers. Because of this, be glad and rejoice, O heavens, plural. And the ones in them, dwelling and tabernacling, woe to the earth and to the sea, because he's come down the devil to you, having wrath great, and having known that a small season, that a very short season he had. This begins the conflict of the mad devil and the angry God. The mad devil and the angry God. Ezekiel 38, 18 and 19. Psalm 96 and verse 11. Isaiah 44, 23. Revelation 18, 13, 12 and 9. And 10 and 6. Now Satan is after God's, the apple of God's eye. The only nation that God has ever had is Israel. She does not deserve that love. But in Psalm 89, God said, I shall not go back on my word. I shall be true to my word, true to my promises to David and Abraham. And when I saw the dragon, that he was cast out unto the earth, he chased and pursued and ran down the woman that brought forth the male child. And were given to the woman wings of a great eagle, in order that she might fly unto the wilderness, unto the desert, evermore, unto the place of her. Many Bible scholars believe this is Petra, where she is going to be nourished for a season and seasons and a half of a season from the face of the serpent. Kairos is a season. Chronos is time. There are two different words in here for that.
Kairos and Chronos. This here is the season. That means a period of time. Exodus 19, 4 and 4. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 11. Isaiah 40, 31. Revelation 26. Daniel 7, 25 and 12 and 7. That's just 3.5 years that she's going to be nourished and taken care of by God. The word El Shaddai is Almighty God in Hebrew. But it means the nourisher. Comes from the woman word. The word for woman is breast. God is most powerful, but He is a nourisher also. He's the man of loving kindness. The man of mercy. The God of mercy. And because of God's mercy, He shall remember His covenant with Jacob and Abraham and shall protect this woman. Unworthy as she is and unworthy as we are for the grace of God. And was cast out, the serpent, out of the mouth of him, behind the woman, water, river, in order that she might be carried away by the flood. Now, Satan throws this word waters here. This means a great army. The only army in the world that can put the millions of men on the battlefield that this monster can do is Islam. There's over 200 or over 2 billion Muslims in the world today. More than 2 billion. Satan's after Israel, and God's protecting Israel. God uses natural sources to stop the armies of the Antichrist from destroying Israel by causing a great earthquake, opening up the ground. And it ran to the... And he ran the cry of distress and help the earth to the woman. And she opened up the earth, the mouth of her, and it swallowed down the river. And he cast which the dragon had cast out of the mouth of him. By his authority, all these soldiers should go after this woman. Get her. Destroy her. By the way, the purpose of this one is to kill, number one, all the pigs in the world. Number two, to kill all the Jews in the world. Number three, to kill all the Christians in the world. That's the purpose of Islam. Now, if you're Islamic and you're hearing this, if you really know what your theology is, you must agree. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus can save you. I know that that is the worst shirk in the world, if you're listening to me right now. The worst sin you can commit is to say that God has a son. But the Son of God gave His life for you. Muhammad asked you to give his life for him. And all. God gave his life for you. That you might have eternal life. You have to die in conflict. You have to die in battle. In jihad. To go to paradise. Jesus by God. God by his son Jesus. Gives you eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And through his blood. And Jesus did die on the cross of Calvary. Even though Muhammad said he didn't. And Jesus was buried in a tomb. And after 3 days, Jesus rose again. He died for your sin and was raised for your justification. You have eternal life if you believe upon Him. If you don't, you have damnation. And if you die in jihad, you wake up, open your eyes in hell. Jesus Christ died for you. Every man on this earth. God so loved the cosmos, the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might have life. 1 John 2:2. For He is our propitiation, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. And he went away to make war with the ones remaining of the seed of her, the ones keeping the commandments of God and having the witness of Jesus. Jew, if you're out there during this period of time, you're not going to be saved. You're not going to be protected unless you believe in that Jesus that you hate so much today. Jesus that you murdered as a nation. That you said, let his blood be upon us and our children. Yes, it has been. But his blood will cover you if you believe and repent of your sins. He will. And he stood upon the sand of the sea. The sands of the sea. Is that the great desert of Arabia? The sands of the sea? That's called the Sea of Sand. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out. I pray, Father, if there's a Jew out there listening, that you'll convict them with your spirit and they'll be saved. I pray if there's a Muslim out there that he will denounce that hellish religion from a hellish leader and believe in you, believe in your son, and have eternal life. Father, help me to glorify you with my life and my death. Father, thank you for all the blessings you give us. We send this message out. Forgive me where I fail you.